Good morning. Welcome to my. You might frequent it as often as I do. You're here on Sundays, I'm here on Shabbos. It's nice to see some familiar faces. Welcome. It's nice to see so many people on a rainy, gloomy day. I hope I'll be able to brighten your spirits. As somebody pointed out to me this morning, I did not come here to wreck your Shabbos meal preparations. That was not my goal, and if you leave this morning feeling that I wrecked your Shabbos preparations, that probably means you weren't listening well. So therefore, I advise and encourage you to listen to both sides of the coin. If I say something, don't just tune out afterwards, because I might say the opposite a minute later. So I want to talk this morning about things that happen in the kitchen on Shabbos that do not relate at all to fire, to cooking, to bishul. And there are some very common applications which affect most of the salads, or many of the salads that we might make at our Shabbos tables. And if we do them with thought, we might find that there are certain ways that we could elevate our Shabbos and ways that we could less than elevate them. But we're going to focus on ways to, yes, elevate our salad making. While we talk about salads, we're also going to touch on some other things. You'll see why in a moment. We'll talk about crumbing cheese, crumbing bread. We'll talk about chopping pills on Shabbos, making egg salad, which is a little bit different than other salads. And we might come up with some interesting conclusions that you might not have expected. I want to begin, if you have the source sheets in front of you, we'll begin on the top. The topic of today's shiur really is going to be the malacha of tochein. Tochein is grinding, and the first source on your sheets, we have the single most important mishnah in all of Maseches Shabbos. And that's the mishnah that outlines the 39 different malachos, prohibited actions on Shabbos. And I didn't list all of them. The first 11, which I think you have listed in front of you, are those malachas that correlate to preparation of bread, from the planting of the seeds, the kernels of wheat, to harvesting them, to grinding them, and ultimately baking them. Well, in that process, of course, is grinding, which is what we're going to talk about, because when you grind the kernels of wheat into flour, you could make bread. Before you grind it, it's a little bit hard to make bread with hard kernels. Although they do, there's something called wheat kernels. There's something that they're not barley, but these little wheat kernels that are excellent in challant. I know Perig has a very good, the Perig wheat kernels are excellent in challant. They're not barley, but that's not ground up wheat. But you can't make flour out of it, you can't make bread out of it. Challant, yes. Now, I want to ask you a very simple question. Something that you've learned since you ever learned about Hilchos Shabbos, that the fact that it's sourced in those activities that were involved in building the Mishkan. If I would tell you that tochein, grinding, is one of the 39 malachas, that by definition has to mean that tochein, grinding, occurred in the Mishkan. So I'll ask you the simplest question I could possibly ask you. Where was there grinding in the Mishkan? The Lechem HaPanim, the bread, the Korban Mincha, when they had to bring flour, they had to bring flour offerings or bread offerings. That's what I would say. But if you look at source number two, that's not what it's going to say. In source number two, Rashi, when he explains the Malach of Tochein, does not talk about bread making. In fact, he talks about something that has nothing to do with flour, when he talks about grinding and tochein. He brings something different. Rashi writes that this was the preparation for the crushing the herbs in order to make dyes for the coloring of the different fabrics in the Mishkan. Now, why would he talk about crushing dyes to boil them up to make fabrics for the Mishkan when he could say simply what you and I were all thinking, that, well, you had to make bread? If I could just ask the same question on a different malacha that you don't have in front of you, if I would ask you, where was ofet, baking or cooking, where did cooking, boiling, cooking occur in the Mishkan? What would you say? You'd probably answer the same thing, baking bread, to bring the lechem haponim, the karbanos that involved bread, the matzahs that were brought. But if you look at Rashi, where he talks about that, which is Rashi doesn't explain the malach of cooking having to do with cooking bread. He also talks about boiling up the dyes that were necessary to dye the fabrics in the Mishkan. Why does he take all these malachas that we associate with bread and transfer them to be discussing preparation for the fabrics of building the Mishkan? The reason is because it's a fundamental question. When you learned in your earlier years, and when you were in first grade, second grade, third grade, whenever you learned about malachas ha-Mishkan, that the Shabbos malachas, that they're all learned from the Mishkan, you learned that they were all the malachas that are involved in the, here's the question, in the construction of the Mishkan, or in the administration of the Mishkan? Meaning, did you bake bread in order to build a Mishkan? No one baked bread to build a Mishkan. When did you bake bread? Once you had a Mishkan already built, and then you had to go administer it and you know, have the regular avodah, the service of the day, there, they were part of the service of the day. Once you had a built Mishkan, was to go ahead and to bake bread. That's part of the avodah. But the building of the Mishkan itself, there was no baking bread. And that's why Rashi says, what was the malacha of tochein and the malacha of cooking on Shabbos? Well, something that has to do with the construction of the Mishkan, and that is getting the fabrics ready so you could have the paroches, right? There is a paroches behind me, even though you can't see it, that's colored. Well, in the Mishkan also, the paroches was colored. And in order to build that colored paroches, to build the Mishkan, in its construction, you had to have dyes. Dyes had to be ground up, the herbs had to be ground up, had to be boiled up. And that's why we see, that's the source, that's the background for the malacha of tochein in the Mishkan. Now, that was as far as an introduction. Now let's begin our second point of introduction, and that is, what is this malacha that we're going to discuss this morning of tochein, of grinding? When you think of grinding, what do you think of? You think of a windmill, you think of a, you know, if you've done any touring in Eretz Yisrael or in other ancient archaeological places, they have that brown stone with another stone that sort of rolls on top, and that ox is hooked up on the yoke and sort of walks around that, crushing the kernels of wheat that you might have think of crushing in that sense. I want to define the word, though, because in my house, let me rephrase that, in my apartment two blocks away, I don't have a windmill. I don't have one of those rechayims, grindstones either. I assume even those of you who live not in Washington Heights also don't have windmills or grindstones in your houses. And therefore, where is tochein applicable in your lives and in our lives? If you look at source number 3, the Rambam, in his beautiful language, has the first 6 words just encapsulate the idea so succinctly and accurately. That tochein is taking one body and dividing it into many bodies. Breaking something down. That's the first 6 words of this Rambam. Breaking something down. And that is what we call tochein. Hence, we get the word tchina. What is tchina? Not tahini. Tahina. They spelled it wrong. There's no I at the end, there's A at the end. Because you take the sesame seeds and you grind it up, you end up with tahina. Not tahini. Tahina. I don't know why they call it tahini. That's the word that's used at the end of this Rambam. So therefore, let's try to give synonyms in English for the Hebrew word for the malacha of tchina. If we dice, if we crush, if we grind, if we smash, those would all be English synonyms for the Hebrew word for the malacha of tochein. But there's one other word in English that I think does come up very often in our lives when we prepare salads, and that's going to be a word in English that might have found its sources, I'm not sure, I'm not for certain about this, but in Old French. Who speaks Old French? Rashi. Let's look at the Gemara. There's a very few Gemaras that actually talk about the Malach of Tochen. Source number 4. The Gemara tells us what is Tochen. And Rav Papa comes and tells us, don't try to understand the words, because without Rashi we wouldn't be able to. A certain person who is Parim Silka. Silka is a word we are familiar with. A hint is Rosh Hashanah. Take out the Yud. Selek. Selek are beets. So if you've ever made beet salad, I actually do make beet salad myself, and I got the recipe from my mother. Those of you who know my mother might know that she's a good cook, and Beet salad is one of her specialties, and I make beet salad. I made it just a few weeks ago. And beets, when they're raw, are quite hard. So we cook them first, and once they're cooked, they're not so hard. But if you would dice, well, let's see, purim. What does Rashi say? If you cut this, do this, whatever purim means, which we'll see in a moment, beets, that will be a violation of tochen. What is purim, Rashi says? Mincer bilaaz. Laaz means in old French. So I would assume that he's referring to the word mince, as we have M-I-N-C-E. Rashi's telling us that that's probably what this, I assume that our English word mince comes from the French mincier or something like that. Some of you might have better French inflections than myself. And Rashi explains, mechatcho, you cut it small. Mincing would be another synonym for tochein. So if we stop here, what we're going to assume is that mincing, beets or perhaps other vegetables we'll discuss soon, would constitute a malacha of tochein. So I make salad, you make salad, and there are different ways we could cut our salad. One of them might be mincing. Mincing would possibly be, and probably be, as we'll see here, a problem of tochein, of a malacha of chopping, but not chopping, because chopping is not as small as mincing. Mincing has a connotation of even small, very small chopping. The next line of this Gemara is also words that we're not so familiar with from elsewhere. A person who chops wood. Now, when you chop wood, I was a Boy Scout. We had a Shomer Shabbos Boy Scout troop when I grew up in Flatbush on Avenue P in, I think, East 3rd, East 4th, is a small shul, and we had a Boy Scout troop. And one of the things that we learned when I was a Boy Scout is that when you want to make a bonfire or a campfire, you can't just take a log and light it on fire. There's a process. There are three kinds of wood. There's something called tinder, then there's kindling, and then there's fuel. Tinder are the small, very, very, very thin twigs, even newspapers, white birch, the bark of a white birch tree, which you find in forests around here, things that catch very quickly, that carry a flame easily. Tinder things to get the fire going, and then finally, once you have the fire going, you could put a log there, fuel, and that will keep the fire lasting for a long time. So salat silti, Rashi explains, somebody who chops wood to get tinder or kindling. You take a big log, you take an axe, chik, chik, chik. Now I ask you, when you think of dicing an onion, how small are those pieces of a diced onion? They're tiny. They're absolutely tiny. When you think of chopping wood to get some firewood going, are they tiny? Absolutely not. You see something fascinating. You see that the size might be relative to what you're starting with. If you jump ahead to source number 7, to the funny looking source on top of your page with the yellow, this is a sefer written by Rav Shmuel Vozner. Rav Shmuel Vozner, anyone here has been to Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin in Europe? So Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin was attended, Rav Shmuel Vozner attended Yeshiva Chachmei Lublin before it turned into whatever happened before the war. And when he emigrated to Eretz Yisrael, moved to Bnei Brak, he founded a new yeshiva called also Chachmei Lublin after the yeshiva that he learned in that was destroyed by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And he is one of the great elders that we have in Eretz Yisrael. And he proves from the point that I just said that everything is relative. When you take something and break it down to small pieces, if you take a big log and make kindling firewood, that will be tochein. That will be cutting it down, breaking it down to small pieces. If you take an onion, then what's considered breaking it down to small pieces? Making it very small compared to the size of an onion. So everything is going to be relative, and we will discuss that more clearly in a moment. Before we do that, I want to ask something that you don't have to be a math whiz to understand. When I slice, let me start again. When I mince, how many dimensions am I cutting, let's say the onion, for example? Meaning, do I just make slices in one direction, going from right to left? Or besides making the cuts from right to left or left to right, I also make, you know, north-south. It's two dimensions. Mincing is at least two dimensions, sometimes three dimensions, 100%. So what happens? Is mincing going to be a problem, which we'll discuss further in a few minutes, more at depth? please don't fall asleep yet. If we're going to say that mincing is going to be a problem, is that only because I'm doing it in multiple dimensions and I'm getting a small, tiny cube? What if I would just make very thin slices? Very thin slices. Now, where do I make very thin slices? I know my children like carrots in thin slices. I know my children eat red pepper in very thin slices. I know that cucumber salad comes in very thin slices. So are all those going to be questions of tochein? Well, let's look at source number 8. And source number 8 has absolutely nothing to do with salad or vegetables or anything that you would ever imagine in a million years has anything to do with our lives today. Abaye tells us, the Gemara there is talking about certain activities, things that you could build, you know, crafts projects, a do-at-home, your do-it-yourself project that if you build in your house, you could violate 7 malachas if you do this. If you build an oven, you'll violate 10 malachas. And if you, says Abaye, if you make a chilta is some piece of wicker wood, wicker work, you take reeds, and you make them, and you weave them together with reeds that you cut, and you weave them, and you create some kind of wicker work, you could violate as many as 11 different malachos. Well, what malachos are involved in making a piece of wicker work? Well, what's wicker made out of? I don't really know. But I assume you have reeds that grow in Yamsuf or other places like that, and pick a bamboo shoot or a small bamboo shoot, and you slice it the long way, lengthwise. So you have a few pieces, a few long pieces of bamboo slices, and then you take those bamboo slices and you weave them to make your wicker work. Says Rashi, that's one of those 11 malachas, by making those slices of bamboo. Now, let's travel millions of miles away from Yamsuf, the Reed Sea, the Red Sea, away from wicker work, and back to our kitchen. I want to take something and make slices, thin slices. Well, if it's a malacha, Rashi tells me to make thin slices from a bamboo shoot, so should that be the same as making thin slices for that sliced pepper? Wait, what about, do any of you make a, sort of like a romaine salad with, or a, the way it usually works in my house is it's like a lettuce salad, sometimes with mandarin oranges, sugared almonds, strawberry slices, and red onion slices? Do any of you have that? Do that make that? Those red onion slices, are they fat onion slices? Are they very thin, narrow red onion slices? Uh-oh. You said they're very thin, narrow red onion slices. And I ate your house before. What am I going to do now? So, even though it is true that Rabbi Yashiv says that these issues might be, this might be an issue, as all these kinds of slices. Did you ever go to a wedding, by the way? And they serve you carrots wrapped around with a long strip of scallion tied in a bow? How do you get that scallion? Do you buy those scallion bows? No, you take a scallion and you slice it into thin, long slices. Sort of like a bamboo shoot, maybe? They don't do it on Shabbos. But could you do it on Shabbos is my question. That's the question. So even though Rabbi Yashiv said these things might be issues, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says something very important. He says, you're trying to learn a halacha to the kitchen from where? From wicker? From bamboo shoots that are going to be a wicker basket or a wicker hat or something like that? That's not food. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that that halacha of cutting into long slices only applies to non-food items. And therefore, when it comes to unidimensional slicing, just going from right to left, unidimensional slicing, that's only going to be a problem in non-food items like wicker, like bamboo. But in your kitchen, on your food, you are permitted, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, to slice your red onions as thinly as you like, and to slice your carrot sticks as thinly as you like, and to slice your peppers as thinly as you like, and to make your cucumber salad as thin slices of cucumber as you like, because this is food, says Rav Moshe Feinstein in source number 9. I think I might have highlighted the last three words on your sheets in source number 9. Aval lo ba'ochel. This issue of slicing into thin slices does not apply to food items. And therefore, you could enjoy your lettuce salad as I do on Shabbos with thinly sliced red onions and all as well. Not with a grater, that is correct. A grater, we will see throughout the entire shiur today, that graters, even though we're about to give you 4 different leniencies That's the next stage of this shiur. I'm going to give you four different leniencies to the issues of dicing and mincing on Shabbos. At every point along the way, graters will not be an option. And that's because graters, besides actually doing a malacha, which they may or may not be doing, which we'll see in a few moments based on the four leniencies, graters are a tool. And a tool is something that is considered uvdin d'chol. It's something that's not a Shabbos thing, and if it's an issur d'rabbanan to use a grater, even if it's not going to be a malacha of tochein, which we'll see soon for whatever reason, graters will never be okay. So graters we're going to sort of put to the side, and we're going to discuss the issues of using knives to cut things very small, and we're going to go through, let's try to do one or two more things, and then we'll, hopefully at the end, we'll have time for questions. Let us begin to talk about salads. Now that we put the slicing out of the way, the one-dimensional slice, let's start talking about mincing and chopping salads. Now there are different kinds of salads. We have Israeli salads. Those of you who are frequent Washington Heights and you've probably had meals at Golan, you know they make an excellent shawarma with Israeli salad. And we have other kinds of salads. We just talked about our romaine lettuce with red onion and mandarin oranges and strawberries. We just got that. Let's talk about some other salads. The question really boils down to, how small is small? When we say, and it seems that this is the issue that we're going to be starting with, and we're going to assume that mincing vegetables on Shabbos is a problem, because that's going to be tochen, that's mincing, as we saw that word in Old French, mincer. How small does something have to be cut to be considered minced, as opposed to cut or sliced or whatever other word I might use? So, in source number 6, the Beir Halacha is the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim's essays on the Shulchan Aruch, small essays, and he brings numerous sources. He brings Rashi and Tosafot. He says that the problem is only when they're very small. Dak. Some of you might be familiar with the word from Karbonos. They say by the Karbon Ketores, it says Hadeke Tev, chop it finely. They used to call out, it was apparently when they would chop up the Ketores spices for burning the incense in the Beis HaMikdash. Besides chopping them, they were supposed to say the words, chop it small. That was like, there was an audio visual, like there was, besides doing it with your hands, somebody was supposed to say those words also, articulate those, chop it small. That's the Gemara says that the kol is nice. It's nice to have voices when you're chopping also. Okay, so I used to say, chop it small. So that word, chop it small, was also the word that Rashi used, that Tosafot used. The Rambam also says that when is it tochein? When is chopping something tochein? When it's dak. Thin, small. That's when there's a problem. But, and here at the very end of source number 6, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, brings a Sefer Yireyim. Sefer Yireyim was one of the Ashkenazi Rishonim, and he says, how small is small? We do not know how small is small. Small means small. How small? We don't know how small. You could say an Israeli salad is small. I would say when you cut up, you know they have the cut up vegetables outside, the cantaloupe and the honeydew and the pineapple that you are familiar with. If you're not, you could step outside right now and then come back in. I think those are definitely not small. That's definitely fine without question. I think we would all agree. That's not dot. That's not small. But how small is small? It's like when I dice up an onion to put inside my latkes? Or where is the size of a kernel of corn? You know, the corn on the cob you buy, corn in the can? That small? Bigger than that? Smaller than that? Says the Sefer Yireyim, and this Sefer Yireyim is brought down by all the major poskim. We do not know how small is small. So therefore, how am I going to make... Well, when I make a lettuce salad, I don't have much of an issue. Because my lettuce never gets that small. If it gets smaller than that, it's sauerkraut. I don't want to serve sauerkraut. I want to serve a lettuce salad. And when I put my tomatoes in my lettuce salad, okay, they're not going to be so tiny either. But what about making an Israeli salad on Shabbos? Is that going to be dak? Is that very small? We don't know the answer. And therefore, we come to leniency number 1. And that is the Rashba. The Rashba was asked a question that I'm sure does not get asked too often in your kitchens, even those of you who live in Mansiyot Tinek. And that is, regarding the chickens in your backyard. You see, I'm from Washington Heights, so anyone over the George Washington Bridge, by definition, has a big backyard and probably has some animals, possibly chickens, growing there. We have a garden too, just ours is on a fire escape. So, the Rosh was asked, am I allowed to take bread and crumble it in front of the Tarnigolim, in front of the chickens on Shabbos, in source number 10? Is this considered Tochein? Am I crumbling something? Is that like mincing or chopping or grinding something? To crumble, you know, if you have chickens, you have to feed them on Shabbos. You have to feed them, in fact, before you feed yourself. So am I allowed to crumble those breadcrumbs for the chickens on Shabbos? Says the Rashba, the most important leniency that we're going to have today. And that is, he says, when is there a problem to do this whole malacha of tochein, of chopping something? That's when you're doing it. Well, let's take a pause. When you have the herbs that they used to chop up for the dyes and to make the base, to make the mishkan, and when you would make flour for whatever lechem hapan or other karbanos made out of flour and wheat, when did you chop the flour or chop the herbs relative to when you would actually use them? You'd make it today, and then 3 weeks from now, you'll use that flour. When you use flour on a Tuesday, when was that flour chopped? Ground into flour. Probably months ago, if you're lucky. So therefore, says the Rashba, the whole problem of tochein is only when you're doing it for later, for a long time later, for hours from now. But if you're going to be preparing something for a meal right now, the halacha of tochein does not apply. So if we stop here, we're not. But if we stop here, we come out with the most important leniency in all of Hilchas Tochein, and that is, if you're preparing a meal right before the meal, you could chop, according to the Rashba, whatever you want, as small as you want, in as many dimensions as you wish to chop. You can make not only an Israeli salad right before the meal on Shabbos, you could take an onion, dice into tiniest, minuscule, dice them up to their subatomic, you know, levels if you want. And that would be totally permissible if you do it right before the meal. Where else do we have a concept of doing something miyad, right before use? In Borer. That's not the way the Rashba said. We find in Borer also. We're not going to get into that now. And what's his rationale? I think I also highlighted on your sheets, I'm not sure, in the middle of source number 10, is there a highlighted line? First highlighted line? No, okay, I'm sorry, my notes, I highlighted it. The Rashba says something very important. Why is it important to know? Oh, okay, thank you. The Rashba says that Hashem told us to do a lot of things. And on Shabbos, Hashem told us not to do a lot of things. But, says the Rashba, Hashem is not out to get us. He did not come to tell us how big or how small my salad has to be. That's what the Rashba says, black on white. Rashba says, Hashem did not tell us how big or small my salad has to be on Shabbos. That far he didn't go. He left us that much room, that I could have a big salad or a small salad, says the Rashba. It's normal. If you're eating and you like, some people like bigger pieces, some people like, I know where I grew up, my father always liked salad in small pieces, and I always liked salad in big pieces, so I sometimes like ask my mother to separate the salad for me, like before it gets chopped up smaller, because I just like my salad bigger. Hashem didn't tell you how you have to like your salad. You like your salad however you like it, you like it however you like it. Hashem didn't tell you how to do it, as long as it's right before the meal. Let's just explain what right before the meal means. That means that if I'm coming home from shul at 11:45 and we're having 5 guests over at noon, that means right before the meal is, let's say, how long do I prepare for a meal? An hour? 2 hours? So if my meal starts at 12, 2 hours before the meal means 10. It doesn't mean before I go to shul Shabbos morning. That's going to be the trick. So, if I want to prepare a salad Shabbos morning at 8:30 or at 9 o'clock for a meal that I have at 12, that's going to be a sticky point. That's going to be a sticky point. That's going to be an issue. 100% go to shul. And then come and invite your guests, and they're going to help you chop the cucumbers, and they're going to help you chop the tomatoes, and A, you'll have more hands, B, they'll learn some Torah from you. And C, you'll have a chance to, you know, let them feel a part of your Shabbos meal more, not just, you know, they should just eat and not help and prepare.
And then you can see them do it at the table. They chop the eggs and the onions, right? They always sitting there.
Maybe they just like onions really sharp.
What?
I don't think that's necessary. The Poskim don't say that at all. Right. So I think the post says, as long as you do it, whatever amount of time. I know when we have guests, my wife usually said, between all the preparations, it could take my wife a good hour and a half. If we're having a lot of guests, an hour and a half of preparation for a meal. So that would mean, let's say our meals start at noon. So starting at 10:30, she would be able to do this chopping, to have this leniency. If you don't want to cut small pieces, you don't want to make an Israeli salad, you want to make some other salad with big chunks, or like the fruit salad we have outside, which are big chunks, that you could do whenever you want. But in terms of making things small, the appropriate time to do it would be within the span of time that you normally prepare for the meal. Excellent question. Let's say you're preparing for the meal and you do lots of things in preparation for the meal. You set the table and you set up platters and you cut pieces of kugel. You don't have to do tochin last. As long as you're within the hour and a half that you're spending preparing for your meal, anytime you want in that hour and a half, you could do your chopping. Yeah. Yes, we have one. We have one. And my 7-year-old Moshe Aaron is in charge of making the Israeli salad with our chopper. We don't have that brand. They're a different name brand. And you slice tomatoes and cucumber pieces, and you go, and it just puts them into small, tiny cubes that are appropriate for like an Israeli salad. That would probably not be okay on Shabbos. I don't think that would be okay on Shabbos. That would probably be a problem. Right. Egg slices, I think, are fine, but this is, I think, is something that does specific for, I think it's for, it's called a chopper, a dicer. I think that would be a little bit of a problem. So maybe the larger ones, I don't know. I only have one setting on mine, so the larger pieces might be okay. I don't know the answer. But the one with the very small holes, I think would be a problem to use on Shabbos. But I'd love to look into that more. Both potentially. It might be a problem on two levels. A, because of the size might be very small, and B, because it might be considered a tool. But I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. I don't want to say for sure. I'm not certain. It's an excellent question. I'll have to get back to you. You could email me. uorlean@gmail.com. uorlean@gmail.com. You can send me an email or speak to Mrs. Moskowitz in the back, and she'll direct you my way. And I'm happy to get back to you about those. If we look at source number 11, we're going to see another familiar word. The Beit Yosef. Who is the Beit Yosef? Who is the Beit Yosef? Where did he live? Beit Yosef was the Shulchan Aruch. Where did the person who wrote the Shulchan Aruch live? Later in Tzfat, and before that in Spain. So what language did he speak? Spanish? I hope. I would assume. I don't know. But let's look at source number 11. And we'll see what happens when I Googled one of the words here in the Beit Yosef. Now, if you have Google, there is a feature. If you have Gmail, on the upper right, it looks like a box of six with 9 dots. If you press that box with 9 dots, it gives you different options of other tools that Gmail has. One of those tools is called Google Translate. So you Google Translate. So the computer will translate any word in any language to any other language that you wish. So that's what I did. I looked at this Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef said, based on the Rashba that we just learned, who said that if you do something right before a meal, you could cut it as small as you want if you're doing it right before a meal. The Beit Yosef says, therefore, it is permitted to cut on Shabbos kibbutz yirakot. What a beautiful word for describing a salad. A kibbutz, what's a kibbutz? Collect, right? A kibbutz in Israel is like a collective living. So it's a gathering, a collection of yirakot, the vegetables. Beautiful word for Hebrew word for a salad. Now they have salat, but come on, you know, that's, if you have to describe a salad in two words, that's a great way. Kibbutz yirakot, shekoran that we call, and what does he write? In salata. So I turned on my Gmail and I clicked on Google Translate and I wrote down en salata, and guess what I found? That it's Spanish for salad. But we have to go back a step. En salata, which is Spanish, I think French also, from Latin actually, it doesn't have anything to do with salad. It means salad, but it's from the word salt. Salt, en salata, sal or salt in Latin is salt. And apparently, the way the ancient world used to eat vegetables was with salt. So salted, and salata means salted. The vegetables and the salads were in some kind of salty brine, salty solutions. I think in English they call that a salad dressing. And that's where the word salad really comes from. So salad doesn't mean salad. Salad means something that was salted. It ends up being that something that was salted is, you know, what kinds of things do they always salt? And those were greens or green vegetables or some kind of salad. So that's the word salad that we have is really a borrowed term of the Latin word for salted in times of in ancient times. So, says the Beit Yosef, we have a Rashba who permits me to cut as small as I want, as long as I do it right before the meal, in salata, salad, and he's talking about leafy vegetables, but he ends up saying one thing. He still says that when it comes to cutting it right before the meal, I'm a little nervous how small you do it. Yes, you're going to try to do it right before the meal, but even then, they shouldn't be tiny. Without getting into his reasons why, because not everybody holds from this leniency of the Rashba of doing it right before the meal, they shouldn't be tiny. So what the Beit Yosef, which is ruled in the Shulchan Aruch, the bottom line is that when I'm going to be chopping my salad, yes, I could chop it small before the meal, but not too small. So mincing an onion, even if it's right before a meal, that should try to be avoided. An Israeli salad, if the pieces are too small, try to avoid. Try them, let them be a little bit larger than very small, and do it right before the meal in order to properly do the malacha of tochen. However, he says, if there's somebody who you know who does chop it very small, if they're doing it right before the meal, let them be, don't say anything, don't get involved. If they're doing it right before the meal, that's fine. But for ourselves, says the Beit Yosef, says the Shulchan Aruch, says the Mishnah Berurah, which is the halacha, bottom line halacha, a person should try to do their cutting right before the meal, but it shouldn't be too small. Again, I wish I could give you in centimeters and in millimeters how big too small is, but I can't. Alas, I can't. I wish I could. Question, yes? Right, but if you cut like a big potato or something, or a beet, for example, those are much bigger. Right. Yes, the question was, if we said before that the size is relative to what you started with, like a log that you cut into tinder wood or kindling wood, that's tochein, perhaps. So let's say it's 1/100th of the original size, or 1/5th of the original size. So maybe that logic should apply also to cutting a tomato relative to the size of what you started with. That's a very good point. And it is true, but it could be that once you get into relative, it could be like food items in one. It might not be specific, each food compared to its own full size. It's not like, oh, I started with a cherry tomato, so I could cut it really tiny. I started the regular tomato, I could cut it a little bigger. I started with a watermelon, I could get a little bigger. I think it might be all foods are sort of in one category. And yes, firewood is a different category, and that's going to be relative to to firewood. But that's an excellent point. Thank you. I want to go to the next leniency, leniency number two. And this is going to be important when it comes to making egg salad. I'm happy to answer you afterwards. Egg salad is something that we do chop. Why did we never ask ourselves, wait, is this going to be a question of tochein? So, who here likes egg salad? I like egg salad. I had egg salad 3 days ago. Wait, what's today, Sunday? Yeah, I didn't have it on Shabbos, but I would have it on Shabbos. Why? Why is that? Is tochen? Is it not tochen? Well, here we have to go to another question that the Trumas Hadeshim, source number 13, and here I'm going to use a funny word, a question that the Trumas Hadeshim asks. Now, usually when you have somebody who has a sefer of Shilas and Tshuvos, right? And Moshe Feinstein had Tshuvos that he wrote, people ask him questions, and he responds with answers. The Trumas Hadeshim is my favorite sefer of questions and answers. You know why? Because he wrote his own questions. It's very convenient when you want to, you know, direct the conversation to the exact points that you want to direct them, which is important because sometimes you have questions of people who are not, you know, who make false assumptions or mistaken assumptions. They ask a posek, what's the halacha in this? And they're just assuming something wrong. Here, the questions themselves show something because they were written by the posek himself, the Trumas Hadash. The Trumas Hadash was an Ashkenazi Rishon who lived about 800 years ago, and he asked the following question. If somebody is not able to chew meat with their teeth easily, they have a hard time chewing the meat, is it okay to take a knife and to dice the meat, to mince the meat really small? Well, what would we say based on whatever we've learned? Mince? Isn't that the word we said we're trying to avoid? Says the Trumas Hadeshim as follows. Where do we find, what is the historical background for the problem of grinding with wheat? Or the other, to make the lechem habanim, or the other possibility, the herbs? Those are all what's called in halacha, gidulei karka. Those are all things that grow in the ground. That's where the prohibition of tochen applies. Grinding is only a problem in things that grow from the ground. Plant, vegetation, not animal or mineral. Those of you who know what I'm referring to. Pirates of Penzance, I believe, right? Pirates of Penzance, vegetable, animal, and mineral, okay. So, if something is a vegetable, is grown from the ground, that's when I can't chop it as small as I want. But, meat? What else is something that doesn't grow organic, grow from the ground with roots? Eggs? Tuna fish, thank you. So therefore, I could chop my tuna fish as small as I want without any questions whatsoever. I could chop my egg salad as small as I want without any questions. I could chop, as his question was, my meat as small as I want without any questions. I could crumble cheese. You're making a salad with feta cheese crumbled on top. Crumbling? That's making small little pieces. Totally fine. Okay, the pieces of salad will be, I cannot make them too small, but the cheese I can definitely, yes, crumble on top. Because all those things, meat, cheese, eggs, fish, are not gidulei karka, they don't grow from the karka, from the ground, and therefore they are not subject to the malacha of tochein, and I am permitted to crumble them, to chop them as small as I want. As long, as was mentioned earlier, I don't use a special chopping tool. If I use a knife, a fork, that's fine. An egg slicer is also fine, to slice eggs. You know, it's one of those things that has a little indentation. You put an egg inside and you sort of take the handle, press it down, it makes, let's say, 8 or 10 slices. That's fine. That's fine. But if you have what they call in Yiddish a hackmesser, something that's specifically made to, you know, chop and mash, a hackmesser should be avoided. A special tool that's a designated tool to smash and to chop things, always avoid designated tools. But in terms of a knife, a fork, that is totally fine, without any hesitation, at any time, for whenever, I could prepare it in the morning for Shalosh Shuris if I like, I can mash my eggs out as small as I like. That is the halacha, the leniency of Gidulei Karka that we learn from the Trumas Hadeshim. We're going to finish up with another one or two leniencies, and that is back to the backyards in Muncie. Back to the chickens. When I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, I learned in Yerushalayim. Let me just tell the story, then I'm happy to take your question. I was learning in Yerushalayim in we called them a dira. Other people called them a dira. A small apartment where the yeshiva guys would learn. And in the middle of Yerushalayim, really the middle of Yerushalayim. And every morning, we never knew where it came from, but we'd hear this like cock-a-doodle-doo much earlier than yeshiva boys like to wake up. And there was some fellow who in his backyard in the middle of Yerushalayim had chickens. So let's say he would ask the following question, which we asked before, but this is going to be a different question. Before we asked, could I crumble the bread? And what was the answer? The answer that the Rashba said was, yeah, you could crumble it because it's right before the chickens eat. And therefore, that's where the Rashba said, if you do it right before you eat, that's okay. Here, we're going to have the same question with a different answer. This, in source number 14, is a question, can I crumble the bread in front of the chickens? The Rashba said, yes, because it's right before the chickens eat it. We're going to see another answer. The answer that the Ran here introduces us to in source number 14 is that there's a concept that once something is already ground up, meaning bread, pretzels, cookies, cake, noodles, although you don't really grind up noodles, there is no iser, there's no prohibition of grinding something that has already been ground. Ein tochein, there is no grinding, achar tochein, after grinding. Once something is ground, there's no such thing as a problem of grinding it up again. And therefore, based on this, it is permitted, lechatchila, without any questions, to take a piece of bread. Oh my gosh. Pesach, chicken soup. Do any of you like crumbling up your matzah into the chicken? Besides of those of you who don't brak, I feel bad for you, but that's a different issue. Crumbling the matzah into your chicken soup, is that not one of the great gifts of Pesach that Hashem gave us? Those of us who are non-Hasidish? So, there, is that going to... Okay, Yontif maybe have different... Yontif has different parameters, but what about on Shabbos? There's no question, there's mutter lechatchila. You could crumble as small as you want, you could crumb as small as you want, you want to make a graham cracker? Let's say you have a cheesecake and you have the cheese in the freezer or some cold dish that you're going to pour into a graham cracker crust. You go to your pantry, there's no graham cracker crust. But there's a piece of graham crackers. Could you chop up those graham crackers in your pantry to make a graham cracker crust? 100% yes. Why? What? Not with a tool. Not with a designated chopping tool. With your hand. But usually they put it in a bag and you crush the bag. That's, if I remember correctly. Okay, I don't know if that, yeah, I'm not sure about that. But that's not a chopping tool. A rolling pin is not a chopping tool. A rolling pin is mukta for a different reason. But here you're using it for, no. You're using it for an alternate purpose that's permitted, so you'd be allowed to move it. Meaning you're not allowed to use a rolling pin to roll out dough. But since you're using it for an alternate purpose, without getting to Hilchos Muktzeh, it will be permitted lichatchila to take a rolling pin and to roll it over your bag of graham crackers to make a graham cracker crust on Shabbos. Because it's chopping something, it's grinding something that was already ground. Based on this, we come up with something else that I didn't know until I was preparing this shiur. One of my children at one point had to take pills on every night. And they weren't able, they're little kids, I have little kids, they weren't able to swallow a pill, so I had to chop it. But when I got to Friday night, I had to cajole her to please try to figure out a way to swallow the pill, even though she didn't really know how to swallow it. It was very hard. When I was learning this, preparing this shiur, you know what I found out? That pills are manufactured from powder, and they formulate it into a pill because most people, it's easier for them to swallow a pill than to, you know, measure some tiny minuscule amount of powder. And therefore, pills are already ground up in the manufacturing process, and therefore, if a person wants to chop up pills on Shabbos, that's what I do now. You're allowed, lechatchila, I take the back of a knife or whatever other thing, I can't take a chopper machine, I take whatever hard thing and I take the pill and I chop it up like I do the other nights of the week. And I could do that even on Shabbos. You could chop up a pill even on Shabbos because it already started in ground up form. And accordingly, let's say you have a clump of salt. Well, the salt came from when it came out from the factory. It was already ground up. And then because of the moisture, wherever you keep it in the cubby, in the cabinet, especially at certain times of the year, more moist times of the year, more moister climates, it turned into hard clumps. Those clumps are very frustrating and annoying, right? Especially, oh my gosh, I can't do anything. No! Even though it is Shabbos, I could crush those clumps, I could take my hand, I could take a knife, a fork, whatever I want, crush those clumps, because I am what? Grinding something that has already been ground, and that is permitted lichatchila. That is totally, totally okay. Let us finish off the last point. Okay, we're not going to talk about shirin right now. I don't know if we'll have time for that. But let's just review. We still take a question or two if we have time. When it comes to making salads, the main leniency that we have is to do it in the time period right before the meal. The poskim all say that before you go to shul in the morning, that is not considered in the time right before the meal. Rather, in whatever amount of time, I usually prepare my food. If it takes me half an hour, and it takes you an hour and a half, then you have an hour and a half, and I have a half an hour. Whatever amount of time that a person normally spends preparing for the whole meal, during that interim period before the meal is when a person should make their small choppings. And even then, they shouldn't make them too small. How small is too small? We don't know. We haven't known for 800 years, and I assume we won't know. Hopefully Mashiach will come very soon, and he will tell us how small is small. But until then, we should try to avoid chopping those very small things, even if it is right before the meal. But try, as whatever it may be, try to do it right before the meal. Secondly, we saw that when it comes to things that are not growing from the ground, anything like meat, chicken, fish, eggs are totally fine to chop how everyone wants. When it comes to things that are already ground up, always okay. And therefore, I hope we'll be fortunate enough to find the answer to how small is small speedily. I'll take one question if there is. You had a question I wasn't able to get to. Yes. Avocado. That's a different shear. That's a different shear. Making guacamole is a different shear. I do have one online though. On YU Torah, I have a shiur on making guacamole. So if you go to YU Torah, I told you it's another shiur. In 3 seconds, the answer is make your guacamole with the back of a spoon. Okay? Shmush your avocado with a shinui. Okay? I don't know why. I have 60 minutes of audio on YU Torah. I actually just gave the shiur last week or 2 weeks. I don't know if I uploaded it yet. One more question. Yeah? Egg slicers. Okay, why are egg slicers okay? Right. Egg slicers are not a tool of grinding. It's a tool for slicing. There's no prohibition to slice. To grind, it is. It's one dimension. No, but it's nothing more than a series of knives. Different than a grater. A grater has a different kind of, you know, works with a different motion. Right, so it's not considered a tool, it's just considered a souped up knife. Peelers is a different question. Peelers is a tool for the melech of borer. That's a whole different shear also. That's also available online. Look up peelers or liam. That's a different shear about peelers. But that's a different, yes, last question? I can't hear you. That's a great question. I don't want to answer that because I think there are enough people angry at me now. If I answer that, they'll just be more angry at me. Thank you so much for coming. Have a wonderful day and enjoy your vacation that's coming up.